Hi, I'm Mike Holby, President and CEO of the RAB, and welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. We recently attended the annual NAB show in Las Vegas. Over a five-day period, this convention brought together 61,000 attendees. It featured keynote addresses, informative sessions, lots of conversation on relevant topics from revenue, recruitment, and of course, innovation and AI. RAB's immediate past CEO, Erica Farber, and I had the opportunity while in Vegas to sit down with thought leaders from the industry and talk about their plans for the future. Big thanks to Enco and Benstown for allowing us to record live in their exhibit booth every day of the convention, including a few live stream interviews. In this seventh episode of the series, we hear a conversation that I had with Nicole Avedia, Vice President of Forecasting at BIA Advisory. We focused on BIA's local advertising forecast and the opportunities that Nicole sees for radio to grow its share of the wallet and revenue. It's Radio on Main Street at the NAB with the RAB. Hello, I'm Mike Holby, President and CEO of the RAB, and we're going to talk facts and figures today, right? So Nicole is with us. Nicole, this is your life. And I had the pleasure of watching you on a panel earlier in the conference. And you were very excited about some of the data points as it related to radio in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And you had some very interesting things to say to radio about digital.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be a part of our conversation, but for the beginning of our conversation, why don't you explain what you do, how long you've done it, how you got into it?
Good question. Excellent. I'm so excited to be here. So thank you so much for having me. As you said, I love radio. Spoiler alert, that's where I'm headed with this. So I was born and raised in radio. My name's Nicole Avedia. I am the VP of Forecasting for BIA Advisory Services. Originally, I'm from Long Island, New York. Yay, that's one word. And I did my undergrad at Wharton, where I was at WXPN-FM. That's public radio. And so that was my first foray into radio, was public radio. My work-study job was you donated money, I packed up the CD, and I shipped it out. And I learned how a radio station worked during those 4 years there. Fell in love with it, absolutely. So when I was graduating, I joined Inside Radio. I wrote Inside Radio for about 2 years right out of undergrad, which was another fantastic experience. Learned so much about the radio industry. When I left there, I went back to my finance roots. So I was in banking for a while, but I missed media. I missed radio. It called me. So I went to MIT to get my MBA, did my summer internship at the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, again, broadcasting and everything. And when I graduated, I joined Emmis. So I joined Emmis Communications out in Indianapolis. And at the time, it was fantastic. I mean, I loved working for that company. I, again, learned so much about broadcasting. I was in Indy at the corporate level for a while, but then came back to the station level, WBLS and Hot 97 in New York, where, you know, that's where I earned my stripes, if you will. And it was a wonderful experience. I wound up leaving there to join the New York State Broadcasters Association to advocate for New York City radio, which was great. And then BIA found me. And BIA came by and they said, I mean, I'm a numbers and nerdy person, Wharton, MIT, I know. And I love media and entertainment. So BIA is just a great fit for me in terms of talking about media, especially radio and where we're headed and all of that.
Okay, now, Nicole, I'm going to challenge you.
Please.
On being completely nerdy. So, yes, you went to school, you studied on what some people would say would be nerdy topics, but yet you worked at one of the greatest radio stations in America.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Hot and BLS.
That's not nerdy.
I mean, they are, there's just something about those brands, and there's something about, you know, the culture and touching the audience, and, I mean, Summer Jam, my first Summer Jam, just something about 55,000 people screaming, and I was a part of making that happen. I mean, nothing beats that, and that is the passion of radio. It's in my soul, and, you know, it's the brands, it's the connection, it's the community, it's everything that radio does that I love so much, and, yeah, that's why I still work in the industry, and I love advocating and being here.
Your career path is interesting because, I mean, you've touched non-coms, you touched public, you've touched, you know, commercial radio. You have it in your blood. You can just tell when you have someone who's got
got bit by the radio bug. I got bit when I was 8. And it's, you know, and been affected ever since. And there's no cure, I guess.
For me, wait, I have to tell you. So for me growing up, it was WFAN was on the radio and my dad would listen and he would scream at, you know, at whatever they were talking about, the Mets and yeah, how terrible they were. He'd turn red. We'd be in the car and he's screaming at the radio. And I'm like, Dad, you can change the channel. And he looked at me and he's like, why would I do that? Yeah. And I was like, mind blown. Like just the power of radio. So that to me in my formative years, you know.
Did you share that story with Jeff Smullyan?
Of course.
You work with Jeff.
How do you think
Indianapolis?
I got the job? No.
Yes, exactly. Play your dad's card.
Exactly.
I love that. Okay. Let's talk about BIA and the role that BIA plays, because it's an important role, you know, in our industry and understanding what is happening on the revenue side. And it's sometimes it's data we don't like to hear.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's data, or at least it's a story. And I, you know, beginning to hear other stories, it's like, okay, opportunities lie within. But first of all, for our audience that may not know completely, what is BIA and what do you do?
I mean, we do so much. So I've been with BIA about 2 years now, and I am amazed that we do so much. I joined them because we are, you know, the gold standard of forecasting, and it was just an honor to even join them to begin with. And then being there for 2 years, learning so much that we do. For example, valuations and planning. So if you're looking to buy or sell a station, there's so much that we can do in helping you with valuations and everything that happens with that. We've got our market reports, and, you know, so if you are going into a station or, you know, to a market, or if you're unsure, we've got that detailed market report, tells you all about your competition, everything that's going on. Again, these are gold standards that people know about. But my team, what we work on is the forecast, and that's where we're covering local advertising, dollars intended for the markets they end up in. I just don't think sellers really have that much control, so we don't focus on that. So our numbers are local numbers across all the radio markets and 96 verticals, all of the sub verticals, 19 different media. So one of the things with radio is at certain reports, they only report on the radio revenues. So at BIA, we're reporting on all of the local advertising, because if you're fighting over those radio dollars, hey, there's a lot going on in direct mail, and you have a way of taking those dollars. And so we like to think of that as share of wallet, the entire, you know, what's going on in your market comprehensively, and BIA can help with that.
There was a report that BIA published in March when updated your radio for our radio revenue forecast. Saw an increase of 9.3% over 2023.
Yeah.
Interested as you now look forward. So let's say it's May, or almost, you know, and when some may consume this, it may be May. What do you see?
Great question. So yes, we adjusted our forecast in March, and I wound up taking down both 2023 and 2024. So what I was seeing was the end of 2023 came in lighter than we expected. So my forecast before that had been done in October. So as you're noting, in those 5 months, 2023 came in a little lighter. So that also led us to temper our expectations for 2024 a bit. So we did take down our overall 2024 forecast by about 2% overall. Compared to our previous estimates. So we're now forecasting $172 billion to be spent in local advertising in 2024.
Okay, so that's the path that we're on.
That's our number.
How do you see radio?
So radio, good question. So radio right now, for 2023 to 2024, over-the-air radio is going to be minus 2.3% is what I'm expecting. Now, when we layer in digital with that, then it's down 1.3%. So it tempers some of that negative. What makes me a little more optimistic is when I'm looking at my five-year CAGR, compound annual growth rate, and I look out to 2027, radio is essentially flat. So while 2023 to 2024, excluding political, I should have noted that,
right,
is minus 2.3%, I see the five-year, including digital, a much more flat situation. And I do think there's opportunities for growth within that, which I'm sure we'll get to.
Yeah, absolutely. And then and that's a part of this conversation is we do look forward and the impact that digital is having, you know, on broadcast.
Yeah.
What do you see in terms of some of those indicators moving forward?
Yeah, so when I'm looking at my forecast right now, I'm expecting 51% of the local dollars to be spent on traditional and 49% to be spent on digital. I joined, as I said, 2 years ago, and when I joined in 2022, I was expecting the shift where digital will, quote, take over, you know, the maximum amount, the majority of the dollars, excuse me, over 50%. I was expecting in 2022 that to happen in 2023. But then, you know, the third party cookie issues, like there's been some headwinds slowing the growth of traditional over the last 3 years. It's still growing, slowing the growth of digital over the last few years. It's still growing faster than traditional is, but not quite as fast as it once was. So now I'm kind of expecting 2025 probably to be when digital takes over the majority of the local dollars, but it might even be 2026, depending on, again, how, you know, the growth rates for digital continue through the year.
Okay, let's peel the onion back. So when you see that and you start thinking that we're going to see that level in 2026, mm-hmm. what are the indicators that you're actually looking at? I mean, what is it that tells you that?
I can't not look at CTV and OTT and all the dollars that are going into that. And I mean, honestly, coming, this is a radio conversation, but out of cable and into CTV and OTT, I mean, that's one of the main drivers. It's just that, again, as I mentioned before, the digital growth rates are still just tremendously higher than the traditional growth rates. So it's a matter of time for that shift to happen.
Well, you were on a panel at NAB early on in the week. Although it's over a weekend and you people say that.
Time is meaningless at NAB.
Absolutely. They don't have any clocks. And I think, you know, it's Vegas.
It's Vegas.
It's what they specialize in that. And you spent a lot of time on this key point.
Yeah.
And what's your message to broadcasters on OTT, CTV? What's the message that you're sending to broadcasters you want them to pay attention to?
Yeah. So one of the things, I'm not going to say it was controversial, but one of the things I said on the panel was, the future of radio is video, which is so weird. You know, the future of audio is video. I mean, that's what, and I mean that in the relationships that traditional radio sellers have with their clients is unparalleled. I mean, at the local level, their connection with the local businesses is unparalleled. And these small businesses need help evolving into the video. You know, they're going to start doing more video ads. It might have been unapproachable in the past, too expensive for me to be on air, on television over the air. But now I can shoot a commercial with my iPhone and get it on programmatic CTV, OTT, much more approachable rates, if you will. And I think audio and radio traditional companies need to help these customers move into that space, and it'll open up like pockets of money that they never had access to before. And that's again where we look at share of wallet. So if you're only fighting over the radio over the ear dollars, that's not a good fight to fight. But if you are actually tapping into the CTV and OTT dollars and allowing your staff to be the marketing experts to solve all the marketing needs of their local clients, then, you know, there's a growth path there.
And I mean, I think we see more and more and more companies, maybe the majority of companies, that are now thinking that way.
They like, have to.
That it's not the thinking of the future. It's maybe the thinking of the past in some ways. And that message certainly resonates even to the very, and I tend to use the term local market, even for a small market. Yeah. I like the idea of the local nature of that. But even at some of the smallest companies that, you know, are members of RAB, they have digital strategies where they can go to market with solutions for OTT, CTV, et cetera.
And these clients,
but it's a different thinking.
Yeah, and so it's a change. I think it's an evolution for the sellers. I don't think it's a scary thing. It's great. I have more ways to help my clients meet their needs. I mean, that's wonderful. If you're a seller, if you're truly a marketing expert trying to solve your client needs, and you're not trying to sell radio spots, then this should be an exciting time for you.
You mentioned the 96 verticals that BIA tracks. You know, when you look at that list, I don't need all 96, but what are a couple of categories that jump out in terms of growth opportunities, in particular for radio?
So I have to talk about political, right? I mean, it's 2024, it would be impossible.
I have multiple questions for political.
Oh, okay, then I will talk about non-political verticals first, if you're going to come back to that. So, okay, what am I?
I don't want to steal headlines here.
in terms of verticals, so I am going to take the year of 2024 in three parts to answer that question. So right now, in the, we'll call it the January to June part of 2024, I'm really excited about QSR, quick service restaurants, because right now we're seeing a change in consumer behavior in the ways in which they spend. So inflation has been a problem that we've been talking about for since the pandemic hit for a while, but consumer spending didn't really change. At the end of 23, remember I said I took down my forecast because things were tempered. So we started to see consumer spending patterns change. They're getting more price sensitive in general. And so QSR is a place that this is actually coming to fruition, which never happens. So if you think about it, McDonald's, they spend their money advertising their most loyal. They want more frequency out of their most loyal customers. That's how they're going to make their money. But for the first time ever, they should be looking at top funnel because there's price sensitivity. So those Wendy's and Taco Bell customers are actually willing to consider McDonald's for the first time ever. I mean, that never happens. QSR is very loyal traditionally, but price sensitivity is finally coming to play. So right now, for January through June, I think that price sensitivity, you know, dollar menus or whatever they're calling it, is really important for the whole QSR space to think more top funnel and not just bottom funnel. So that's my early in what I'm excited about. So middle of the year, so we put a pin in political, so we'll come back to that. So outside of that, I'm pretty excited about pharma. So pharmaceuticals is another one where, think about, like, I mean, you cannot turn on the TV without seeing an Ozempic commercial, and there are all of those guys competing. They need to make their money back before the generic drugs come in. So it's very important. I mean, it was a lot of money for those drug companies to come up with these. And so there's a lot of advertising and a push for them to make as much money as possible. So I believe that over the summer, especially on that CTV OTT with all the political crowd out, we're going to see a lot of pharma spending. And then the very end of the year, think about a time. I know it doesn't sound, you can barely wrap your brain around it, but the election will be settled at some point. So no matter what, it doesn't matter what happens, it will be settled. The uncertainty will be gone. And the Fed will have reduced interest rates at some point over the summer or into the fall, most likely. So then at the end of 2024 and into 25, I'm really excited about real estate and auto finally picking up because interest rates and uncertainty are opening up. So that's my answer for verticals in 24.
There's a lot of opportunity in your answer for radio.
Yeah.
There's a lot of solutions that radio can bring to the table.
Absolutely. And it's a matter of understanding your clients and then their consumer, you know, and how clients are changing their spending patterns and the seasonality of it. I mean, of course, these are things BIA can help with, but there's a lot of opportunity. And I mean, I think this 2024 is a year of uncertainty, but the one thing I'm sure of is that there's opportunities for success.
Okay. Let's remove the pin. And we put a pin in political.
Okay. We're going back to political.
Now let's go to political.
Yes.
And let's talk about, what was your political number?
Yeah, so for
I've heard, you've heard these crazy $1 billion numbers.
I know. Yes, it'll be billions.
Without question.
So for political overall, I'm expecting $11.1 billion, again, local, in local. And that is up $100 million. So my forecast, I just took it up a little bit, from $11 billion to $11.1 billion. So this will be an increase of significantly over, it was about $9.6 billion, if I remember, in 2022. So this is an increase over that significantly. And the majority of the growth is coming on CTV OTT. So in 2022, $100 million was spent, and it's going to be $1 billion. And so that is a $900 million increase over the course of 2 years. And so this is a massive opportunity for radio.
Have
we already
you ever
talked
seen
about that.
I mean, in going back and looking at data, that amount of growth in such a short period of time?
Great question, and I can't answer. I can't think of anything off the top of my head that kind of growth. And what we're seeing here is basically, I mean, there's a couple of different reasons why this is happening. First of all, CTV OTT allows you to target, I mean, at the zip code level. So if I'm running for District 14 in Brooklyn, I can't afford all of New York over the air television, but yes, I can do my, you know, the zip codes that I need. And again, the radio, you can help with these solutions. And so I'm expecting a lot of growth in CTV, OTT for on the political side. So for radio, there will be growth. So it was about $450 million in 2022. It'll be up a little over $530 million in 2024. So there's growth there, but the majority of the growth is coming from CTV OTT. And then beyond that, because sometimes I start to talk about political, and as I might have mentioned, I live in Brooklyn. People, like, they just glaze over. You're like, oh, if you're in a very blue or a very red state, and, you know, if I owned a radio station in New York, I'm like, I'm not getting political. Why are you talking to me about that, right? And so I will challenge that. This is a different election than we've ever seen before. There will be dollars spent on social media for fundraising in very blue and very red states. So imagine my social media feed will be filled by Biden ads asking me to donate money. They don't want my vote. They kind of assume they already have it, but they want my dollars to then spend in those purple states to get more votes. So so we will see significant amount of political spending on social media in markets you wouldn't expect. So that's another, just keep your eyes open.
There is a lot of opportunity for sure. There were some panels here at the NAB show specifically talking about political and subject matter experts on the district in Nebraska. How many billions of dollars are going into the state of Montana?
Oh, yeah.
Like every avail will be sold.
Right now. It probably
now.
Is. Yeah.
Yeah. In the middle of the
in
year.
Montana. I know.
In
they're
Montana.
Getting like zeros like they've never seen before. I'm like, oh, have fun, guys.
It's,
yeah.
You know, it's yep. nuts, but that's the world that we're in.
It's true. And radio needs to compete better. I mean, forever. They
yes.
have not been getting their fair share, you know, and no matter how you slice it or dice it. And I'm not sure that they're ever going to get their fair share, if you will, on over the air. And so the digital, whether it's social media, CTV, OTT, this is the opportunity because a lot of political dollars are going there. I think most of them are coming out of cable to go in there. So it's not like you're shooting yourself in the foot. These are new dollars to radio, you know, potentially.
And the how-to, again, we're not going to answer to this podcast, but the how-to from the experts is it starts with relationship.
You're local.
You're
you
local.
Know your market better than anybody else.
Right. Your local relationship and what role you in local radio play.
Yes.
In order to being able to access this growing investment of money that, you know, we get this done in 24, you know, get ready for 26.
Right.
And then 28 will be beyond.
And even odd years. I mean, Wisconsin showed us that even odd years can have crazy
spending. Well, when you have specific races such as
State Supreme Court matters.
State Supreme Court.
Different ways. I mean, the way in which we think about political spending in general is going to change and evolve.
At the state level and the local level. So it's not, political will always be a part of the dialogue.
Right. Right. And so the closer you are to your local community, the more important you will be, because obviously when your market becomes important politically, they're going to want that expertise of how to move those votes.
Okay, Nicole, look into your crystal ball.
Mm-hmm.
You've given us a lot of very good information.
Okay.
But to narrow it down to radio's opportunities,
mm-hmm,
what do you see?
I believe radio is live and local. I know people say that all the time, and we should. We need to continue to say it. So I love radio. It is live and local. And I believe the opportunities are to help existing customers grow into new spaces, CTV, OTT, other places that they don't know. And so use those relationships and help them be better marketers. Help them move with their clients. Help them move with their where they need to be as all of these markets continue to evolve. I think it's also really important, and there's a massive opportunity for radio to understand the changes in consumer spending and behavior and help their clients to better target messaging. So we talked about top funnel versus bottom funnel for QSR, things like that. So understand, be that marketing expert. It's really important. And most of all, I mean, lastly, I'll say radio is nimble and quick. Like, we can change, we can react, like whatever's going on. The world is nimble and quick, and so lean into that. You know, I mean, just be flexible and be helpful in solving your clients' needs, and we will be successful. There is growth opportunity for radio, and if you think beyond just radio.
Nicole, thank you for taking some time during your NAB experience to join us.
So fun.
On the RAB.
Yes.
On Main Street podcast.
From BIA. Can get some more letters in there.
We certainly can. Erica Farber's favorite last question.
Yes.
And I'm all about building on Erica's success.
Sure.
So, radio matters because.
Oh my God. Why does radio matter? Radio is everything. Radio matters because it connects people in ways that no other media can. That one-to-many, and yet I'm also connected with everyone else. So radio matters because community matters, because connection matters, and radio helps all of that.
Nicole Avedia from BIA, thank you very much for joining us on our podcast.
This was great. Thank you so much.
Nicole shared lots of data, numbers, and stats as it relates to the current economic landscape. Now, while some may see the current local advertising forecast and think that we're treading water, what I took away was a tremendous opportunity for radio. We can drive revenue to our local stations by helping our local clients be better local marketers, by understanding the changing consumer behavior, and by our ability to be nimble and quick. This approach can only help our clients in 2024, a year of uncertainty, as Nicole called it, and for being open to growth opportunities that we may not even be thinking about, including CTV and OTT.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.